You're listening to Greater LA, KCRW's show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Oh, remember what it used to be like to go to the grocery store back in the olden days, just a couple of weeks ago.
I mean, you can see it by a week-by-week basis. The first initial, people are making jokes, they're laughing, oh, this isn't a big deal. And then you start seeing people with face masks. Then you see people starting to go, you know, don't touch me, stay 6 feet away from me. So it's just progressing more and more where people are taking it more seriously or reacting more seriously towards it.
This is a shift leader for the Instacart grocery delivery service based at a Ralph's on Olympic in Santa Monica. She wouldn't give her name because she's worried about losing her job. She's watched the frenzy build.
Yeah, so initially when everything started, like the toilet paper started disappearing off the shelves, anytime that the grocery store loaders would bring it out, people wouldn't even wait for them to get it on the shelves. They're grabbing boxes, throwing it in their cars, going, you know, give me the, I need a paper towel. And, you know, it's like there's a two per person limit, two per household limit, and people are saying, I have a friend, and they're grabbing, and it's going crazy.
And now?
As soon as we open, everybody busts through the door, you know, no regard for nobody, everybody for themselves.
Danny Morales works at the same Ralph's on Olympic, returning carts and stocking shelves.
Maybe, like, in the night, there's some campers out here. And by 7, 8, there's large lines ready. And God forbid if you try to cut in, they'll stomp on you or something.
You see people wearing masks more frequently. You hear customers yelling at each other, like, keep a distance from me. And it starts to have an impact on you mentally, whether you want it to or not. So it's anxiety is getting a little bit heavier, but we've been cleaning a lot more to kind of keep that down. So
luckily, lately, things are getting better.
As we're catching up with like ways to minimize how crazy it gets, it's starting to get a lot more civilized in the stores with you only have a limit to how many you can buy. You know, there's a limit to how many people could be in the store at certain hours. You know, the hours for the store has changed, so there's time for us to get things back on the shelves. And it's starting to be relieving because of how the stores and companies are working together to make sure there isn't mass panic going on. So it's starting to get more civilized, I think.
So that's good, right? But grocery store employees are interacting with people more than almost anyone, except doctors these days. So do they feel safe?
I mean, we have sanitizer at our station. I'm sure each clerk has sanitizer that is readily available for them. We have hot water upstairs that we can use to wash our hands. You know, it's just keeping basic hygiene practices up, and we've all been pretty good about that in the past because you have to go through training on that. So it's just nice to see it being reinforced, not just for us, but on a global scale at this point.
Some grocery workers, such as Erewhon cashier Susan Salkeld, have a more accepting view on that front.
Honestly, the kind of job I have, I feel like I would be one of the first ones to get it. So it's sort of, I don't know. When it's my day, I guess. So I'm not worried about it.
Susan began at the store back in August. She went through the busy holiday season, but she's never experienced anything like this.
It was the line that never went down, just the bagging and the cans and the produce. It was overwhelming. You would see these giant, scary carts, and you're like, my back, I can't handle it after this when I'm done.
Now, despite all that, she has enjoyed helping people during this new life of pandemic. In fact, she says it's given her something to look forward to.
Like I said, I was getting to that point where I was feeling really tired, and then it gives me a purpose, I guess, to go to work. It's not just that hourly job trying to get through the day anymore, so now I'm more excited about it. And that's what's been getting me through it.
Just a day in the life of grocery store workers around Greater LA. Special thanks to KCRW's Angel Carreras for helping us with that report. So, what is it like handling the day-to-day panic buying that's been going on, the restocking of shelves, the job of keeping supermarkets safe, not only for customers, but also for those employees who work inside? One small chain of grocery stores is trying to adapt to the new normal of going to the market. Yvette Serrano has been boots on the ground covering this at several Vallarta supermarkets across Greater LA. She's director of marketing, and more importantly now, she is heading up her company's coronavirus task force in stores, and she joins me right now from their location in Pasadena. Yvette, welcome to Greater LA. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for having me.
How are you guys doing right now?
We're hanging in there. Our stores have seen a tremendous demand these past couple of days.
You've been in many of the stores over the past few weeks, Yvette. What's it been like for you and your coworkers, like this panic buying going on? Have you ever seen anything like this before?
You know, the best way we can describe it is that every day feels like the day before Thanksgiving, where everyone is just trying to get in and get all the essentials and the basics that they need for their big family dinner. But we're just seeing it with different items now this time around.
What kind of item? I mean, we hear all the talk about toilet paper and milk and bread and those staples. Is that what you're seeing at your place as well?
Yes. So we are seeing a lot of people stocking up on cleaning supplies, bleach, paper goods, a lot of frozen foods, bread, of course, cheese, our tortillas that are coming hot, hot off the tortilla maker. People are stocking up on all of those items.
When we're talking about the run on all those kinds of items, you know, people start thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, the whole idea, the psychological emotion of panic buying is that I'm going to get these things now because I'm not going to be able to get these things later. But the true notion is the supply chain is fine, right?
That is correct, Steve. Every day at Vallarta, we're receiving pallets of food. We are working overtime. Our night crew is coming in every night to restock the shelves. But on all honesty, there will be some items that are just sold out at this time. You know, if you can't find pie dough at this time, we're prioritizing other products that are basic essentials. So we are focusing our efforts to have those items that are necessary and essential at this time.
What's your advice for folks who are concerned, though, that maybe they haven't stocked up on food or household items yet?
We would like to recommend to stock up on those items that are necessary and essential and follow the guidelines of what, you know, the public health safety is saying, you know, for up to a week, up to 2 weeks. If you have those in your home, there's no need to stock up. There's no need to hoard. Vallarta supermarkets will be here. The doors will be open. We're receiving shipments daily. We're not running out of those basic essentials. We'll be here from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with that special hour for those in the community who are most vulnerable. Our seniors, 65 and older, pregnant women, and people with disabilities can shop at 7 a.m. And we'll be here. We are a part of the community. And together, we will get through it.
When we talk about people going to the store, I mean, the one thing that I think we kind of take for granted, right, is that those stores are clean. One of the things that's happened just probably in the last week or so are big chain, even smaller grocery stores are amending, are changing their hours to make sure that the employees can go and really clean the stores and restock the stores. Is that what you guys have been doing as well?
That is correct. At Vallarta Supermarkets, we've always taken having the store clean very seriously and even more so now. So we have adapted our store hours to allow for employees that extra time at night to really get in there and clean. We've refocused all of our efforts to just make sure all the high touch areas, you know, like the door handles, the checkout counter, the self-checkout, the pin pads, even the shopping carts, anywhere where it's high touch, we're cleaning that frequently and throughout the day as well.
And this, of course, bearing in mind that these employees are also on the front lines, so you're trying to keep them safe as well. They're cleaning, but we got to make sure that they don't catch anything, right?
Absolutely. So what we're doing is we're recommending if anyone is feeling sick, any type of symptoms, to stay home. We just want to make sure that we're following all the public health guidelines and making sure that our staff stays healthy and our team members can continue to serve. But also we're providing gloves if team members want to wear gloves. We're providing actually also if they want, you know, if they need a break so that they can also stay healthy and calm during this time.
Well, let's use the word calm here because that's what I think is necessary in a time like this. I know Trader Joe's has started letting only 20 customers in at a time while they're spraying disinfectant on customer hands before they enter the stores. Would Vallarta ever consider doing something like that?
So we are also implementing letting a few people in at a time as is needed. Some stores have a larger capacity, especially now with the warning of social distancing and staying, you know, 3 to 6 feet away. We are, if the store is getting to be too crowded, we do ask that people wait outside while we are able to manage the traffic flow and get people out, and then the next group will go in.
Are you going to be hiring any more employees to help offset this high demand?
Yes, we are hiring. We are in specific departments, and that's something that you can go to VallartaSupermarkets.com and apply there. We ask people to apply online. Do not come to the store if you don't have to shop, but we ask that you apply online. And there are certain departments where we're always looking for great team members to join.
What about people with disabilities or people who are vulnerable, the elderly, those people who may need to get in and out of the store faster? Are you accommodating them?
So earlier this week, we announced that we would be opening from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. for seniors 65 and over, also for pregnant women and anyone with disabilities. And so we saw this as a way, especially for seniors who have grown old with us, as Vallarta is a company that's been around for 35 years, they're some of our most loyal shoppers, and we were seeing the demand in the community. So we are opening our doors from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. for those community members. And then we ask all others who can shop later in the day, we're open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. If you can shop at that time, shop later in the day and let those who are most vulnerable have the first hour to themselves so that, they can shop in a clean, safe environment.
Yvette Serrano, who heads up the coronavirus task force at the chain called Vallarta Supermarkets and 50 locations across California. She's also the company's director of marketing. Yvette, I know it's a tough and trying time for you guys. Thank you for taking time out.
Thank you so much, Steve.
All right, coming up, at the intersection of climate change and COVID-19, a small sliver, of a silver lining. That's yours ahead on KCRW's Greater LA.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Onward now with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. You're being challenged by COVID-19 in one way or another. Maybe you're stuck at home or your kids are out of school. Maybe you're anxious about getting sick or the ability of the healthcare system to keep up. You might be out of work. But here's a story about a small but possible silver lining in this. NASA and the European Space Agency say that since January, their satellites are seeing a big drop in air pollution over China. We're talking about the kinds of emissions caused by cars and trucks and planes and factories. So, can we expect this here in Southern California with the rise of cases of coronavirus? There's certainly a whole lot less traffic on the roads right now. Frances Anderton runs KCRW's design and architecture desk, and she's been looking into this, and she's with us right now, 6 feet away, of course.
That's right,
Frances,
Steve.
How are you? What does NASA say about these findings in China? Because I've seen these pictures online, too.
I know, and the pictures are pretty compelling, aren't they? NASA published online some satellite images that showed that noxious cloud that typically hangs over much of China had virtually disappeared between January 1st and February 25, coinciding with the rise of this terrible coronavirus. They found that nationwide, the level of nitrogen dioxide was down 42%. And the level of something called PM2.5, that's a tiny particle pollution that can penetrate lungs.
Particulate matter, that's right.
Yep, was down 27%. People have now been looking at other places that are also being very impacted by the virus, such as northern Italy. And people are saying, well, the canals in Venice seem to be appearing cleaner. So, yes, not to in any way suggest that there is something good about what's going on. Nonetheless, people are observing a cleaning up in the atmosphere.
It's a byproduct. And I wonder about closer to home. Are we seeing this happen yet here in Southern California? A lot of people are just staying home.
And as I came here this morning, I looked at the 10 freeway going west, and you know how normally it is completely jammed. Cars are not moving. It is a parking lot. This morning, there was barely a car coming west. It was kind of an amazing sight. I did call the AQMD this morning to ask if they have data on the pollution levels, air quality levels. He said they won't have for several weeks or months. Intuitively, we can expect there to be an impact on air quality from this steep contraction in cars, airplane travel, and other forms of high productivity. I think we've got to assume that.
Obviously, we don't want a pandemic to happen, Francis, for our air to be cleaner, right? But COVID-19 is not going to last forever, hopefully, knock on wood. Do we think there might be any lasting effects?
Many of us are now working from home most of the time, and this could become more of the new normal. We've all become used in the last week or so to using online services for collectively meeting. We at the station, I think there was over 100 of us on a conference call, and most of us were sitting at home. So yes, we could anticipate much more of that. More telecommuting. For a long time, we were promised that we were all going to be telecommuting rather than bouncing from city to city to have meetings. Telecommuting has become the new reality. There's a lot more talk about meeting in virtual reality spaces. We're using terminology like the immersive internet as a place where we could gather. So that could be an upside in terms of climate action. However, those that are very engaged with climate activism, for example, Jonathan Parfrey, he's executive director of the climate action group Climate Resolve. He's a former commissioner at the DWP. He cautions against getting too excited at the sudden cleaner airs and thinking, wow, this is the way to solve the climate problem, is just simply have the economy contract. He says the public would happily trade clear skies for smog, security, and a good economy. And here he is.
I think progress is made on the climate front when we can simultaneously reduce emissions and grow the economy. And the good news is it can be done. Here in California, we've been growing our economy while reducing emissions at the same time, and other nations have also done the same.
So that's Jonathan Parfrey, and his concern, in fact, is that we might go from this brief period of cleaner air to then greater pollution as governments, anxious to stimulate the economies, allow more polluting industries to get back to ramp up production.
To ramp up production, get the economy growing again, because this is going to be a heavy lift.
Sure. He said this happened back in 2008 in China.
With the financial crisis.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
There is also, Francis, a downside to all of this being stuck at home, right? To not being able to go to work, to be working from home, right?
Sure, we're missing each other, basically. And especially in Los Angeles, where LA was a place where people did lead somewhat solitary lives. You lived in your home, you drove in your car, you didn't necessarily spend too much gathering, you weren't necessarily on mass transit. Over the last three decades, a bunch of planners and community activists have worked really, really hard to make LA into a place that has a more active public realm. We're talking farmers markets. We're talking Ciclovia. We're talking all sorts of pop-up festivals and arts events and happenings. One of the people who's been incredibly effective in this area is Aaron Paley. He co-runs a group called Community Arts Resources. They program crowd events. He co-created Ciclovia. I just mentioned it. It brought thousands onto main streets to bicycle and have all sorts of fun. And Aaron cautions against us slipping back into old habits.
The joke is, oh, LA's been practicing social distancing forever. That's what we do. We get in our cars, and of course we have an amount of social distance between us and the other person because we don't talk to them because we're all hidden in our cars.
Yeah, hidden in our car. I mean, that's what we do, right? We're in our cars most of the time.
Right.
Although not in recent days. So Aaron Paley worries about Angelinos becoming less social now, even after we're done with the worst effects of this virus, you know, knock on wood, that we can get rid of this, that this could somehow be kind of a new normal?
He certainly hopes it isn't. It is fair to anticipate that possibly folks who already were not super enthusiastic about using LA's mass transit, for example, might just carry on not using mass transit. It's now become a place where people are anxious about too close proximity because of germs, and it could be easy to just continue that habit of staying in the car because it's safer and cleaner. That's pure speculation, however. Paley does say, and probably a lot of us would agree with him, that after all this confinement we're all experiencing from each other, that we can't wait to get back into each other's company.
So it is going to come to an end, and people are going to start congregating together. And I think what they're going to come out of this with is, wow, being with people is really important. And sure, like, we have all these tools which we didn't have before, and we can do online and we can do virtual, but there's no substitute for being together. And I think that is going to re-emphasize, I hope it will re-emphasize, just how important public space is and our public commons are.
We certainly are social beings, aren't we, Francis?
Absolutely. I love your company, Steve. And I should say the extreme downside of the isolation that we are experiencing right now is the intense loneliness that's going to set in for some folks who may perhaps not have anyone that they're able to visit with during this period. So I think many of us agree we want to be back at that place that Aaron Paley loves so much.
And then in the meantime, we adapt and we keep our chins up, right?
That's right. Chin up, Steve.
Francis Anderton, reporting from KCRW's Design and Architecture Desk. As always, Francis, thank you.
You're very welcome, Steve.
And by the way, the folks at Ciclovia have canceled their next bike and street fair, what they were dubbing Mid-City Meets Venice, on April 26th, citing, of course, health and safety reasons. So there is that. We continue on with Greater LA on KCRW. We've asked for you to tell us how you're doing in the wake of this new reality of pandemic. Life, of course, has changed a lot in the last few weeks, and Christian Bordahl joins us now to look over some of the comments that you have for us. Hello, Christian.
Hey, Steve. How's it going?
Well, we're doing okay. Yeah. We're just chugging along.
So we're working through it.
We
as are a lot of our listeners.
Social distancing, you're far away as well.
That's right.
I think we need to practice what we preach, and that's what we're doing.
Well, a bunch of people have been giving us some feedback about what they have been doing during this time. Like Mike Nash, he says he's spending the time learning how to juggle.
Really?
Which seemed like a pretty good one to me. Like, if you're going to be hanging out at home, why not put it to good
use? That's right. A lot of reading going on, right? And juggling.
Patrick Aubrey says, we had a family meeting yesterday to come up with a plan. Rule one, exercise every day. Rule two, a board game every day.
Ooh.
1 hour family reading time every day. Classic movie every other day. Now we're figuring out how to volunteer, too. Any suggestions?
How to volunteer?
Yeah.
You've got to do that, obviously, in a way that does not put
it's
your
health
in risk. It's a tough
one these days, but maybe helping out neighbors who need some groceries or something.
Perhaps.
There's
a lot
of people out there doing that. Jacqueline Shung said she played Azul for the first time. It's a board game I hadn't heard of. I looked
Azul.
It up. Yeah.
Is
the color blue,
right,
yes.
Right, okay.
Uh-huh. And she made her first kumquat marmalade. Cindy Kalisher said, my husband has found a feel-good substitute for the lack of baseball. YouTube videos of the Angels Championship 2002 postseason games, complete with vintage 18-year-old commercials. I'm making him ration them. No binging.
Too bad Dodgers fans can only go back to 1988. Anyway.
Leslie Wintner says she's searching for better news on the internet. And Marisol says, I've recently taken up crossword puzzles, and so far it's been ... challenging, to say the least.
Oh boy.
Barbara Jennings says she's hanging out in her she shed, making art, listening to you.
Oh.
Calms my mind in these crazy times.
Oh.
Rambler says, trying to figure out what to do with the kids. Normally we'd go out to breakfast, but I figure we're on the side of caution right now. I'm a teacher, so I can be home with them while they're off school, but I'm in serious contemplative mode. What's okay, what isn't? Netflix can only go so far.
It's true.
Emily Sawicki says she finished her 234-piece mini puzzle of Dodger Stadium.
Oh.
Now she's wondering what to do next.
Well, hopefully we'll get to a Dodger game at some point very soon.
And Global Good Impact says video calling family and old friends.
All right, Christian Bordahl, thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Share your thoughts with us. How are you doing during this pandemic, this stay-at-home time? KCRW.com/GreaterLA. Let us know your thoughts and subscribe to the podcast as well with links to whatever you heard today. Yeah, it's a little scary, the not knowing, but we're here to give you the information that you need. Jenna Cagle, Sonia Geis, Phil Richards, Ray Guarna, Amy Ta, Christine Comito, and Christian Bordahl all made this show happen. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for your ears and for your time. Have a great day and take care of yourself.